This is The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW, the show that brings you valuable information about real estate, the financial markets, and other economic business of the day. Your host, Edward Brown, is a nationally recognized expert on money and investing who has appeared on CNN and has published numerous articles in national business magazines and newspapers. Now, your host for The Best of Investing, Edward Brown.
Welcome. You're listening to The Best of Investing. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Mark Honf of Pacific Private Money. Our phone number is 888-912-1190. Use that number to answer the trivia questions for a five-pack tanning certificate given away during this show. That certificate's not sponsored by the radio station, but by Tan Bella Tanning Salon, with two locations in San Francisco and one in Marin. Today's trivia theme is entertainment. We do have a special guest. Before we introduce him, though, Mark, you want to tease us with an article coming up.
Well, we've got a few things we're going to talk about today on The Best of Investing. We're going to talk about the economic outlook, according to one of my favorite California-based economic advisors. Also, how is the government shutdown impacting real estate, according to real estate agents? Also, what Americans think about whether it's time to buy a home today or not. And last but not least, the best markets for real estate investments in 2019, according to Forbes. But before we get to that, Edward's going to introduce our special guest for
today. Our special guest today is real estate developer John Protopapas, who owns a lot in Oakland specifically. And his specialty is live-work units. Now, John, you and I have known each other for a number of years. How did you get involved in the live-work units, and what makes them different than apartments?
Well, great to be with both of you here today.
Thank you
for inviting me. The difference really, you know, when I started the company in 1983, there were a lot of old warehouses in Oakland that were in need of investment and development.
And were they abandoned or...
Well, let's say they were underutilized.
Underutilized, okay.
Okay, many of those old warehouses, distribution spaces, you know, were underutilized, and
this is before Amazon.
This was before, yes, definitely before Amazon. So, you know, a lot of these old spaces, you know, you can convert those old spaces into loft-style live-work units, and you can afford. You can give folks a lot of square footage for a very low price. In fact, for the same amount of money that you're renting an apartment near Lake Merritt, you could rent, you know, a 1,500, 2,000 square foot loft in an old warehouse space. So that's kind of how I started.
And some of those lofts, I mean, you see them advertised. I mean, some of them look really nice. It's not like,
the newer ones.
Exactly. Not this bohemian lifestyle, you know, everybody wearing Birkenstocks and, you know, holes through the roof. And
well, sometimes you see on TV, like if the show is being filmed in New York, for example, you see a lot of those tall ceilings and it looks really rustic and bricky and pipes and stuff, but it's, you know, it's open, but open and airy. And is that what you're talking about for Oakland, or is it something?
Yeah, even the movie. In fact, the movie Ghost, I think, was like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
No question.
I remember about that, where they move into basically this loft and the huge windows and all that. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's what attracts a lot of individuals to those types of spaces, is the creativity. It's not, you know, apartments are great, but if you can have 14, 16, 18 foot high ceilings, if you can have a loft, if you can have brick and timber, some great old features and characteristics of old factories and warehouses, it's a lot of fun.
And being able to see the ducting, you know, like some restaurants do that. They purposely open up the ceiling so you can see the ductwork.
And the other thing with those old buildings is you've got huge windows, great light, very airy, open. So a lot of folks are attracted.
Is the insulation, though, a problem?
Well, when you're renovating, you have to bring everything up to code. So you have to install, you know, current insulation.
Gotcha.
Insulation, bring it up to code. So
sprinklers and all that. Yeah.
Fire sprinklers, alarms. I mean, you know, new electrical, new plumbing.
So is this the growth market as you see it for Alameda County?
Well, I'm happy to say that a city like Oakland, you know, Oakland started, they approved a live-work ordinance in 1983. That was the first one, and then subsequent ones many years since then. So in a city like Oakland, many of these old warehouses have already been renovated. I think it's a growth industry for many other cities all across the United States.
Sure. I mean, again, where can you get that much space? And if you can make it look, you know, almost apartment-like. And then where does rent control come in with live-work units?
Well, in cities like Oakland or San Francisco, you know, if you renovate a building in Oakland, if it's post-1983, it's not subject to rent control because of Costa-Hawkins, the state act that was passed, which does not allow rent control on brand-new apartments. So in our situation, you know, all the buildings we've renovated since I started the company are not subject to rent control. Yeah.
So is it that you renovate a certain percentage above X and it becomes classified as a new rental property versus an existing rental?
Yes. It's basically when you place the building into service. So if you place the new units into service, and you renovate a warehouse today and you bring it and place it into service, it's brand new. It's just as if it's a brand new apartment building.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people don't really think in terms of the rent control. One of the big issues is, you know, if you hamper the landlord from being able to raise the rent, I mean, unfortunately, the landlord is not allowed to go to PG&E or the insurance company and say, hey, rent control, you can't raise my PG&E.
Right.
And so, you know, you don't want landlords turning into slum landlords. You know, you want them to be able to make a fair profit. And a lot of people don't look at it that way. They just look at all landlords are rich, and you know they're all taking advantage.
We all wear black hats. And
yeah,
all
exactly.
Like twirling our mustaches.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I think one of the things that we see, you know, the average rent in our apartment buildings is, you know, probably now $2,700-$2,800 a month. So these are units where the customer, the resident, wants service.
Yeah.
And we want to provide the service. That's our job, is to provide a good service for a great product.
Very good. Okay, guys, we're going to cut to our first commercial break. We're talking entertainment here. And, John, if you know the answer, don't answer yet. We'll let you answer when you come back. First trivia question. What was Elle's name, E-L-L-E-S, name, last name in the movie Legally Blonde? Remember, her first name was Elle. What was her last name in the movie? All right. Call 888-912-1190. If you're the first caller with the correct answer, you're going to win that tanning certificate. Again, what was the last name for Elle in the movie Legally Blonde? Don't touch that dial. The Best of Investing. We're going to be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. It's no secret that the wealthiest people in the world use real estate to become rich. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned 7.5% and more, secured primarily by California real estate. Let me say that again, 7.5% and more. This is not a REIT. It's a mortgage-backed investment where you earn like the banks. Look around and tell me, who's bold enough to promote annual yields of 7.5% and more? Call Pacific Private Money and join the thousands of California residents who have watched their savings grow. A 7.5% return secured with real estate is worth the call. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com. That's pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Now, back to the Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to the Best of Investing. Again, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hoff, president of Pacific Private Money. First trivia question was, what was L's last name in the movie Legally Blonde?
The only last name of an L I know is McPherson.
Reese Witherspoon was the real name, but in the movie, what was L Woods?
Oh, that's
Woods. Remember that? Okay.
L Woods.
All right. Before we continue on here, I want to make a quick mention for Alcatraz Cruises. So they're launching their second annual buy one, get one free. Alcatraz Island, one of the country's most visited national parks. Check them out. AlcatrazCruises.com. 415-981-7625. You guys have been to Alcatraz, haven't you?
I have never been. You've to
never
Alcatraz,
been there.
I've lived in the Bay Area for 48 years.
Oh, man, you got to check it. They are. It's amazing. It's. I got to say, especially when they used to put you in solitary confinement to see what it's like. But I think one time it got stuck. So they. No, we're not doing that anymore.
Oh, how funny.
All right. You want to ask
I have
our
a
guest
question for John? Yeah. So we're talking about live work units, and John, we were talking a little bit off the air, but I wanted you to share it with the audience. Why are live work units an important aspect in the real estate market today?
Well, one of the great opportunities we have living in urban America is that there's the urban fabric in almost every community now is one where it's a village.
Yeah.
And who wants to commute for hours and hours and hours to go from your home to your work? Mm-hmm. So in many instances, we can create communities where people live and work in the same building.
How often are people actually nowadays, though, working in their live work versus just living there?
Well, Edward, you'd be very surprised. There are quite a few.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
I am surprised.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was like the original intent.
Is it because of the percentage of self-employed and people who can work from home within the Bay Area rather than commuting to the office?
Yes. I mean, I think changing jobs, changing patterns of work have allowed individuals to be able to work from their homes, and we no longer have this as we used to. Maybe our parents, where you would go to a company, you'd stay with that company forever.
Yeah.
Now it's a very creative economy. So we see many folks in our communities that both live and work in the same unit.
One interesting thing about that is, it's one thing if you have like a one-bedroom studio that's, 500 square feet. That would drive me bananas living and working in that all the time. But if you can afford a live-work unit that's large space, mm-hmm. You have room to kind of spread around a little bit.
That's exactly right. So often you'll see units that are several thousand square feet or 1,500 square feet or 2,000 square feet where you can divide the work and the live component. And many cities have codes now where they actually require a certain amount of living square footage as well as work square footage in the units.
Okay, so when nowadays, because of what happened a couple of years ago now, the ghost ship fire, and people know that it was in a live-work building, and it was not owned by you, but people have this idea about the bad landlord, because obviously the participants who caused the fire, the electrical thing, and they did all this bad stuff, but a lot of people put blame on the landlord. How come the landlord didn't do anything? So come at it from that perspective.
Sure. One of the challenges as a landlord when you have a building such as the one that where that horrific incident occurred, the Ghost Ship Fire, where there were so many deaths, there's a lot of creativity that occurs in many of these spaces. So it's very hard to police the improvements that take place. And even though, like in our case, we have leases where the leases are very prohibitive of what can be done to the spaces, often people will go in and they'll make significant improvements. And that is a big challenge when you have large living spaces.
Yeah.
So if you have a 1,000 square foot space, a 1,500 square foot space, it's really hard to make significant improvements that are going to affect code. But if you have 2, 3, 4, 5,000 square foot spaces, you know, often you can create things that are very problematic.
I mean, I can see that where if you have, you know, a small apartment, a small studio, I mean, you're not going to be putting a nuclear power plant in. So there's only so much you can do, and that's what
your
point
is. Or you're not going to be putting in bedrooms without windows.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Right? Because the bedrooms already have windows, or the unit already has a lot of window space and exiting. And there are, you know, there are code requirements that we all have to abide by.
So, John, you know, savvy real estate investors identify a niche and pursue it. And it looks like this is what you're doing with the live work area. You're obviously very bullish on it. So, and I understand the idea of repurposing underutilized warehouse space and converting it into residential units. How big is the opportunity to do that? And obviously you specialize in Oakland, but how big is the opportunity in Oakland and maybe even throughout the Bay Area for other investors to maybe take a look at that, at that investment strategy?
I would say the opportunity is huge nationwide because you have communities, and I'll give you an example. You know, we've been fortunate here in California because we're in a growing market. People keep coming because of tech jobs, because of, you know, growth of our economy, the weather. But you go to cities like even Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, you know, cities that have Detroit, cities that have lost population, yet they have these magnificent old structures.
Gotcha.
And a lot of these structures, you know, like a city like Pittsburgh, we looked at Pittsburgh closely just recently. It used to be 1.2 million people in Pittsburgh in 1950. Today, it's about 620,000
really?
People.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so the four cities that I mentioned, they've all lost significant population since, you know, the 50s and the 60s.
I mean, I understand Detroit, you know, with all the car stuff, but Pittsburgh, that surprises me. Steel industry. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yes, yeah.
So now, with the rebirth of cities, you know, you have a lot, you not only have a lot of younger folks that want to live in cities, but you've got a lot of people like me, you know, in their 50s and 60s that want to move back to the and experience the urban lifestyle. So what we see and what we're doing with a lot of our units is, you know, maybe 20 years ago, we had, you know, the average unit may have been 1,000 square feet. Well, now our average unit for loft space is about 1,500 square feet.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Because when I want to move into a space now, I need space.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All right, guys. Boy, the second segment went quickly here. On the TV show Cheers, what was Sam Malone's nickname on the TV show Cheers? He had a nickname, right? It had to do with his baseball career. Remember, he was a baseball player.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Call 888-912-1190. Be the first caller with the correct answer. You're going to win that tanning certificate. Again, what was Sam Malone's nickname? It was played by Ted Danson, right?
Yes.
All right. Okay. What was his nickname on the TV show Cheers? Call 888-912-1190. Don't touch that dial. The Best of Investing. Going to be right back.
You're listening to The Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown. For more information, visit bestofinvesting.com. That's bestofinvesting.com. More in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
A special offer for Bay Area residents. Alcatraz Cruises is launching its second annual Buy One, Get One Free, or BOGO, ticket promotion. These tours from Alcatraz Cruises often sell out during the year, but they've made it a priority to educate the community about the robust history of the island. As a result, Alcatraz Cruises wants to encourage local residents to experience the assets that make Alcatraz Island one of the country's most visited national parks. Offered only to Bay Area residents, this special buy one, get one free ticket promotion is available only on select dates in January and February. For more information, visit AlcatrazCruises.com/BOGO. That's AlcatrazCruises.com/BOGO. To book this special buy one, get one free offer, Bay Area residents can call 415-981-7625. Or you can purchase tickets at the ticket booth located at Pier 33, Alcatraz Landing.
Sonoma Canopy Tours is a world-class zipline tour through the Redwood Forest. Does your family need a break from technology? With a 2.5-hour adventure, including zip lines, sky bridges, spiral staircases, and rappelling, Sonoma Canopy Tours is a thrilling, beautiful experience that you'll never forget. Come fly with us. Reserve your spot today by calling 888-494-7868. That's 888-494-7868. Or book your tour online at SonomaCanopyTours.com.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hanf of Pacific Private Money. Second trivia question on entertainment is the theme. What was Sam Malone's nickname on the TV show Cheers?
Slugger?
Slugger, no. Mayday. Mayday.
Mayday Malone.
Mayday Malone. That's right.
Mayday Malone.
Mayday Malone. Mark, you wanted to ask John Protopapas from Madison Park a question about live work.
So we've been talking so far on The Best of Investing about investing in live work units, what kind of investment they are. And during the commercial break, John, we were talking about how it is to work with the city planners. And we thought maybe they would love you to come in there and repurpose an old building, but you said otherwise.
Well, it's very difficult for city planners, city plan checkers, engineers to work with adaptively reusing older structures. Mm. They much prefer you building a brand new building.
Tear it down and build new.
It's easier.
But that's not where the opportunity is, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. There's great opportunity in reusing old structures.
Mm.
For one thing, if it's a historic structure, you can actually certify it with the National Park Service and get federal tax credits.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a huge benefit.
Mm. There's 50-year ones and 100-year ones, I think, aren't there?
Well, the building, all it has to be is 50 years old,
okay.
But you do have to qualify the buildings with the National Park Service. So you have to obtain approvals.
But there's only so much you can do with that building, too, if you certified it, isn't it?
There is, but it's, you know, it's not that difficult.
Not that difficult.
I mean,
yeah,
we've done it many, many times, and once you learn the process, it's actually pretty easy.
Okay.
So aside from working with the various cities, depending on their level of expertise or not, the opportunity for return on investment is huge, repurposing an existing building. Is that correct?
It is, because you can purchase an existing structure, you can renovate it, and it's if you are renting it out as an apartment building and retail down below, you're going to end up with a building that is worth a lot more than your cost in the building.
Interesting. And before we move on to Mark here, if people had questions about live work units, could they call you?
They certainly can.
Okay. How would they get a hold of you?
They would get a hold of me at Madison Park in Oakland at 510-452-2944.
Great. Okay. Well, stick around. We're going to move on to Mark here. Mark, you have an interesting article there.
I've got four interesting articles.
Four interesting articles.
We'll see if I can power through them through the rest of this segment, and we'll continue on with some more interesting tidbits through the rest of the show today. But my favorite economist, Chris Thornburg, founder of Beacon Economics, and they're based right here in California. And I, you know, again, we're a California-based show. Both you and I have been lived and worked and invested in California our whole lives. California's the fifth largest economy in the world. So really, there's the challenge with a lot of news that's coming out nowadays is that it's nationwide in scope. And so, but when Chris speaks up, he's one of the guys that called the crisis before it happened in 2007. Yeah, he told people to get out of real estate in 2007, was largely ridiculed for that. So he's a guy that I listen to. In fact, he's speaking next month at the California Mortgage Association event that I'm going to attend. But he just came out with his January monthly newsletter, and he says, trade disputes, slowing housing markets, Wall Street turbulence, political uncertainty, ... Despite all of it, economic outlook remains steady.
Huh.
And so I've always appreciated his level-headedness at looking at this, because he saw the writing on the wall when everything turned south very quick in 2007 and 2008, and he's a guy that like all good economists, you know, they read the graphs, they study charts, they're looking at trends.
Is he saying that it's okay basically because unemployment is so low?
Well, let me share with you a few tidbits. The fact that the U.S. economy is on the edge of the longest economic expansion in the nation's history hasn't dampened Chris Thornburg's latest forecast. Despite hand-wringing over everything ranging from battles with U.S. trading partners to feared onset of inflation, his outlook continues to be that California economies and the U.S. economy, for that matter, will continue to expand through 2020. And he says, look, this isn't just raw optimism. This is there's just simply nothing out there at the moment, in his opinion, whether it's the sell-off of the stock market or rising interest rates, that has the power or speed to knock the expansion off its track.
Huh.
And apart from a rapidly growing federal budget deficit, which is no small thing, of course, the U.S. economy looks fairly well balanced in terms of the fundamentals. At the state level, California's economy, he forecasts it to continue growing through 2020. His biggest concern really is with labor, the labor force, the cost of housing and getting labor forces. We're not building enough housing and enough affordable housing to grow the labor market sufficient to sustain California's potential for expansion and continued expansion. You know, I mean, we've got a lot of companies that are starting up every day in California, in the Silicon Valley and in San Francisco and Southern
not
California
that, many, that are leaving.
Well, maybe, some are leaving too. Yeah, but again, the net expansion in California is still on the plus side, and really the biggest hurdle to continued growth in California is the housing market. So stay tuned. But again, I think that's good news. And that's good news because, according to the polls, more Americans, according to this article, think it's a bad time to buy a home today. And so that's the headline. And, you know, we like to sometimes ridicule on the show the headlines. You know, it says more Americans think it's a bad time to buy a home. Well, yeah.
Based on interest rates going up, based on the prices being too high and starting to flatten.
So this article I pulled out this week, the share of Americans who think it's a good time to buy a home has dropped sharply, according to a survey from the mortgage giant Fannie Mae. Higher mortgage rates and increased home prices are to blame.
There you go.
Homes are simply very expensive right now in relation to income. But, you know, again, you know, you have to be careful about polls and consumer polls. And I don't know about you guys, but I tend not to follow what the polls are saying. Usually it's like whatever the public believes, you know, run the opposite direction or invest in the opposite. Yeah. So that's article number two. The next article I wanted to share with you guys is a new study from the nation's leading real estate agent advocacy group shows how the partial federal shutdown is curbing economic activity relative to real estate. So this is the National Association of Realtors. They polled 2,200 of their members. Now, notably, 75%, there's been zero impact on my business from the government shutdown. But interestingly enough, 25% said that their business has been impacted. And here are the ways that the government shutdown has been impacting real estate activity. And it's mostly on the mortgage side. So
yeah, government employees maybe not getting mortgages.
So 10% of agents said they were impacted because a federal employee opted not to follow through on a home purchase. 25% said the buyer decided not to buy the house because of government uncertainty. So I guess
that's why we don't deal with government employees.
The rest, delays due to IRS income verification and other delays on FHA and other government-backed loans. So again, so it, you might think it's had no impact. So it's had a little bit of impact, but I would say marginal at best.
Yeah.
I'll save the last article for the next segment.
All right. Here's our third trivia question. What actor played Dr. Frankenstein in the 1974 film Young Frankenstein? You guys should remember that movie, right? Call 888-912-1190. Be the first caller with the correct answer. You're going to win that tanning certificate. Don't touch that dial. The Best of Investing is going to be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
It's no secret that the wealthiest people in the world use real estate to become rich. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned 7.5% and more, secured primarily by California real estate. Let me say that again, 7.5% and more. This is not a REIT. It's a mortgage-backed investment where you earn like the banks. Look around and tell me, who's bold enough to promote annual yields of 7.5% and more? Call Pacific Private Money and join the thousands of California residents who have watched their savings grow. A 7.5% return secured with real estate is worth the call. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at pacificprivatemoney.com. That's pacificprivatemoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
Now, back to the Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to the Best of Investing one more time. I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hanf, president of Pacific Private Money. Third trivia question, what actor played Dr. Frankenstein in the 1974 film Young Frankenstein?
Mark. Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, that is correct. Okay, I want to make a couple of mentions here. Sonoma Canopy Tours is a world-class zipline tour through the Redwood Forest. I don't know if you guys have ever been there. It's an Occidental. And you're talking about,
zipline.
Like, these trees are like 200 feet.
They're beautiful.
You want the thrill and scare of your life? Check out Sonoma Canopy Tours. You can also get one of those, you know, film things on your head.
Oh, right, the GoPros.
The GoPro type things, yes. So come fly with them. Reserve your spot today at SonomaCanopyTours.com. You can also call 888-494-7868. Also want to make one other quick mention here. We Care Exterminators. They're all over the Bay Area. These guys are not only reasonably priced, but they're very honest and very, very friendly. I've used them before. They are phenomenal. So check them out. 707-703-1278. Whether you got, you know, rats or mosquitoes or whatever else you got. They do a very good job. WeCarePest.com. Okay, Mark, an email comes in for you, and then you can explain. What do you do for a living? Would you lend on someone's house for a business venture?
Well, the answer is yes, absolutely, and we do it all the time. And so at Pacific Private Money, we're an alternative real estate finance provider for situations where the bank says no, or when banks financing is just simply not an option, which means they said no. And as we all know, since 2008, the banks have said no with increasing frequency, as opposed to, you know, anyone who could fog a mirror. Seemingly, your, you know, your stylist, your taxi driver, your the guy next door. Everyone was buying real estate left and right in 2004, 5, 6, and 7 just based on their FICO score and a lot of lies on a loan application. You can't really do that anymore. And in fact, you know, the pendulum swung so far in the other direction that even getting a HELOC on your home in, you know, a junior lien behind your first mortgage, it's just gotten extremely difficult these days. And it's funny, I'm actually going through a home loan refi myself right now with a major bank, and I just knew this was going to be painful. And when I met this this loan agent, she said, well, I'm the number one producer for jumbo loans for this bank, and I happen to bank with them. So I thought, well, I might as well give them, you know, throw in a bone. But I said in advance, I said, I don't want to go through the process that I went through with this other mortgage agent a couple of years ago, and I explained to her how painful it was and how downright humiliating it was for someone who makes the money I make in a business that's successful and thriving, and I pay my taxes and I report all my income and I have reserves and yada yada yada, and still I couldn't get, I still gave up on the last time 2 years ago when I went to refinance my home. So here we are 4 months into it. I mean, sorry, 4 weeks into it. 4 weeks, and it's already starting to look like it's going to be more of the same. So anyway, but Getting a loan on your home for a business purpose is actually quite common. People, you know, you have a home with equity, you got a first mortgage on it, you want to borrow, you know, $500,000 for a business venture or to buy business inventory. I mean, there's all kinds of, or maybe you want to buy fix and flip real estate, even though, you know, many in the market are saying, oh, there's no money to be made in flipping in California today, which is completely untrue. But you got to be just more careful about it. But we get those loan requests in every day. And in fact, when I left the office earlier, I overheard a conversation that one of my loan agents were having with someone who was trying to do just that, borrow money from, use their home equity to borrow money to make an investment. And so that is something that not all private lenders or hard money lenders will do. There, some people some companies are reticent to lend on an owner-occupied dwelling, even though it's for a business purpose. And the reason is because the laws have changed substantially in the last 10 years to really give the power to the borrower.
Yeah.
And in some lenders feel that there's too much power in the homeowner's hands, that you make them a loan, the loan that they asked for, they wanted it, needed it, and are benefit from it. But because it's secured by their primary residence, they still have the opportunity to basically say, you know, throw up a bunch of defenses that, you know, you knew I couldn't afford this loan and this wasn't for business purposes. I used it to pay off
credit cards
and college tuition, and you should have known better. You know, and in other words, you can always find an attorney who will go to bat for you.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because regular banks, a lot of times, they wouldn't want to make a loan if you're using it for business purposes.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the questions. What do you need the money for? And when they find out what you need the money for, a lot of times it's that turns them off.
That's true. And in fact, those of us in the private lending world, like Pacific Private Money, we really like it. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear you say it's for a business purpose. We don't want to hear you say it's for a consumer use. I'm consolidating debt, or I'm paying off a judgment lien, or I'm paying off student loans for my kids. The reason we don't like hearing that is because on a consumer purpose or a consumer use of money, there are different regulations that that loan falls under, and it requires us to do things like verify your ability to make the monthly payments, which we really do anyway. They're even harsher constructs to making those types of loans.
Yeah.
Most private lenders will not make a loan to you on your primary residence unless it's for a business purpose. And even if it is for a business purpose, many of them won't do it.
So. Well, I'm sure you just love to hear, what do you need the money for? Well, I need to hire an attorney to sue the last three mortgage brokers. A little bit of a red flag there.
Yeah. So for more information about how you can leverage the equity in your home for a loan, give us a call at Pacific Private Money. We're at 415-883-2150. Or the best way to connect with us is via our website. That's pacificprivatemoney.com.
And do you have a deal of the week?
You know, I don't.
Well, you don't? Well, I do.
Flat-footed.
That's okay. Last week, we didn't have enough time to do this one. So there is a person in the Bay Area who is consolidating debt to pay an IRS lien it's not a lien yet, but owes the IRS, knows that it will turn into a lien.
Mm.
And he made a decent amount of money, but, you know, didn't have at the time the money to pay the IRS. It has good cash flow, and it's going to be a second mortgage. But the combined loan to value is only 56%.
Mm.
So, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, well, the person got in a little IRS issue, but there's so much equity in the property, and the person makes a lot of money that, as soon as they pay the IRS, you know, they should be good to go.
So that's something that a lot of people don't realize. You know, they think if you're a hard money lender or a private lender or an alternative finance provider, that you're out there making high risk, high percentage loans, stripping the equity from someone's home or from a real estate. And in fact, usually the opposite is true. Most of the loans we do are at a LTV exposure of 70% loan to today's market value or less. And your example of near almost 50%-ish loan to value, that's very typical. And again, they're coming to companies like ours because they either can't get bank financing for some, for a myriad of reasons. And it's not all the time that it's low credit score. Oftentimes it's they got great credit. They're self-employed. They can't verify income. It's just speed. They just don't want to go through a 6 or 8 week process of providing everything four times.
kind of like the process you're going through.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
And again, I love my bankers. I really do. I don't want to bash banks. They sent us a lot of good referrals. But again, if you need fast financing, PacificPrivateMoney.com.
All right, we're going to be back and we're going to explain to people how you can invest with Mark's company and earn a very good rate of return. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Hi, listeners. This is Edward Brown, your host. I had a 40-year-old listener sign up for a $500,000 life insurance policy guaranteed not to increase for the next 35 years at a cost of only $51 per month. Holy smokes, that's less than $2 per day guaranteed for 35 years. Imagine, this is probably the last life insurance policy this listener will ever need to buy because the premium is fixed for the next 35 years and it is from a well-known, highly rated company. For your free quote, call our toll-free number, 888-912-1190, and make sure to leave your name and ask for a free quote. I'll get right back to you. Hurry, as I suspect these rates will not last long. Again, call 888-912-1190 and ask you for your free life insurance quote.
Have you ever wondered how the banks make all their money and wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, their clients do just that. For almost a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured primarily by California real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent above-market returns on their savings and retirement accounts. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost your income. Join the thousands of California residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing. For more information, call Pacific Private Money at 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150, or visit their website at PacificPrivateMoney.com.
All investments have inherent risk due to market fluctuation, and your individual results may vary based on the investment. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investments or investment strategies.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mark Hunt. And Mark, you want to ask John a question?
I did, and I know a lot of listeners, you know the answer to this, but it bears repeating. You know, there's always this conversation about why is housing so incredibly expensive in the San Francisco Bay Area, yet in other metro areas throughout the nation, it's a fraction of what renters here have to pay.
Mark, great question. I mean, you know, when you look at the amount of units, the amount of supply that we create, we don't create enough supply. It's as simple as that.
Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, we have a lot of demand, right? We have a lot of people that keep
tons of
to
demand
the Bay Area, and we don't create supply because many of our cities, they make it very difficult for us to create supply. And not just the cities, but they are responding to a public that often doesn't want any change in their community.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The NIMBYs.
So many people say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, sure, go ahead and produce that big apartment building, but I don't want you to do it right next to me or right across the street from my home.
We need affordable housing, but where are we going to put it?
Right. Yeah. So you see cities that, like Oakland, that has a lot of former warehouse industrial distribution land that is no longer that type of use.
It's perfect.
And it's a great area where you can go ahead and build, you know, lots of units. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's face it. If you go to any high-end community in this Bay Area and you want to propose building an apartment building, most everyone is going to object.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's really creating supply has become very, very difficult in the Bay Area. Whereas you go to a place like Seattle and the rents are about 50 to 60% of what they are here because they create supply.
You know, when you fly over the Bay Area, there's so much land and that could be developed in the Bay Area. I think the biggest problem is the infrastructure of our highway and freeway system and transportation system. It's just inadequate for the growth potential that we could realize in this area.
It's a great point. And that's one of the reasons why developing infill in our urban communities makes it, you know, we're beginning to see more and more of that all across the United States.
You got to have good transportation.
Live work units. Yeah. No, that sounds great.
Mark, before we cut out for the day, tell us a little bit about the fund, how people can invest.
So we make privately funded loans using private capital from private individuals like you out there listening to this show. In fact, someone came into our office this week at banking at Chase, a bank right next door to us, and said, I've been walking by your building for all these years now, and I've got a bunch of CDs that are maturing, and I wanted to find out more about that 7.5% you've got posted in your window there. And so 7.5% is the trailing 12-month distributed yield that the Pacific Private Money Fund has been providing for its investors. The Pacific Private Money Fund is approximately $43 million in size today, and it's a five-year-old fund that invests only in real estate-backed loans. So we use that fund and other private individual capital to make our real estate loans. And so the fund is a great tool for, you know, passive investors or those who really have never invested in an individual note. And in fact, that really is most of investors out there. Most investors have not invested in an individual note. And so the fund exists to provide that opportunity. And so the only requirement is that you be an accredited investor. That's a certain net worth requirement that we can go over with you when you contact us. But we've got over 200 investors in the fund. The average investor is in there for about $250,000, and they are enjoying a 7.5% distributed yield. And that's created from the notes that we put in the fund. The average note rate in the fund is about 9%. So minus the fees to operate the fund, the audit, the tax returns, et cetera, that we provide, we produce a yield of about 7.5%, which based on the types of loans, investment opportunities we have out there and stock market gyrations, you should check it out. Check us out, pacificprivatemoney.com or 415-883-2150 for more information and a prospectus.
Very good. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. John,
absolutely.
It was a pleasure talking about live work units.
Thank you.
Thoughts for the day. Some people wait their entire life for their ship to come in, not realizing they're standing in an airport. And Dear Abby said, the best index of a person's character is how he treats people who can't do him any good and how he treats people who can't fight back. But that's true. Tune in next week to The Best of Investing. We're going to be giving away more free prizes for answering trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm Edward Brown. We're wishing you the best of investing. So long.
You've been listening to The Best of Investing with Edward Brown. For more information on this program, call 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. Or visit bestofinvesting.com. And join us again next week for The Best of Investing on the Bay Area's Business Leader, AM 1220 KDLW.
This radio broadcast is in no way an offer to sell securities except where applicable in states where we are registered or where an exemption or exclusion from such registration exists. Information discussed during this broadcast, whether stock quotes, charts, articles, or any other statement or statements regarding market or other financial information, is obtained from sources which we believe are reliable, but we do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. Nothing in this broadcast should be interpreted to state or imply that past results are an indication of future performance. There are no warranties expressed or implied as to accuracy, completeness, or results obtained from this broadcast.